Cheeky.
Oh, hello, Cheeky. Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Ah, hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello.
What a funny way to make a living.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again?
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again?
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again?
It's chucking it down in Madrid!
That's more like it, darling.
Higgins, you're a genius.
Are you Pickering?
Yes.
Well, don't. It'll never get better.
Oh. I say, Higgins.
Yes, but can you say the rain in Spain...
Oh, shut up.
Oh, please.
That was an extract from a repeat of a repeat, recently repeated on BBC Two, of a repeat of a repeat of Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion, which will be repeated later tonight. This will be followed by a repeat of Terry Scott taking a light-hearted look at varicose veins. This will be followed by a belch, which is the same as a repeat, only not so classy. I don't know about you, I'm going to the pictures.
I went to the pictures last night. I saw Gone with the Wind. That's another repeat.
Oh, please, please.
That's another repeat.
Thank you, fans. Dennis Seagharl King here. Next week, I shall be playing you my last territorial claim in Europe. Today, Mrs. Mills. Tomorrow, the world.
Not much difference, really.
I don't come here every week to listen to Dennis King doing rotten jokes.
I have been meaning to ask you, Tim, why do you come here every week?
This is the night the wife has her tuba lesson. Once a week for the last 4 years, this handsome Frenchman has arrived at our house and... Wait a minute. I've just realised he never brings a tuba. Hello?
Hello, Tim. Don't worry. For the last 4 years, your wife and I have been practising breath control.
What?
Breath control!
Oh.
But tonight your wife has a surprise for you. Listen to this.
Darling, that's wonderful.
Thank you, darling.
Oh.
Excuse me now, mon brave. I have to flit across London and see how Mrs. Cryer is coping with 100 pipers.
Is she learning the tuba as well?
No, she's trying to cope with 100 pipers, or a what?
Barry, what's your wife doing with 100 pipers?
She collects sporrans. Oh. Which brings me to a little recitation. Some men can smile at adversity, some at fear, some at danger, some doubt. But believe me, the man who smiles broadest of all is a Scot with his kilt inside out.
Hello, Cedric.
Hello, Clive.
Hello, Vernon.
Hello, Pestle.
That was the four just men.
And now over to Edna Platypus, who is talking to a man who sets fire to people.
Good evening.
Oh, that hurt!
Oh, next week Edna will be talking to a stirrup pump.
Inside Showbiz, in which Peter Nobble takes a glimpse behind the scenes and gets a punch in the mouth.
Faye Dunaway agreed to do a nude scene in her latest film, provided that everyone was barred from the set. Shooting was held up for 3 days when the doorman refused to allow Miss Dunaway on the set. He later took off his trousers and said, "I'm a star, I'm a star."
The producers of the film Chinatown announced today they're to make a sequel. They said half an hour after finishing the picture, we felt like making another one.
In the canteen at Pinewood Studios today, Christopher Lee ordered a steak, drove it through his heart, bit the waiter in the neck and flew out of the window.
Is Ken Russell going commercial? Rumours are that his new film has been retitled Beethoven Meets Kung Fu.
Bob Dylan announced today that he is to give up his career as a singer and concentrate on his appearances in Magic Roundabout.
That's all from Inside Showbiz. Next week, Michael Parkinson will be in Shepherd's Bush talking to Joan Bakewell, who won't be answering as she'll be in Sidcup.
I say, you fellows, my sister's getting married tomorrow in China. Mother wanted her to get married in velvet, but you know what these modern kids are like.
Meanwhile, in a cinema, just behind that couple who look as though they're fighting but aren't.
Excuse me, miss, have you got a drink on a stick?
No, but I've got a chuck ice with a bad ankle.
Meanwhile, in the box office...
Roxy here.
Have you got Dirty Harry at your cinema?
No, we don't let him in anymore.
Don't blame him.
Here is a newsflash. Police surrounded a hard-boiled egg in Chelsea today. A spokesman said later that the egg was helping police with their breakfast. Now over to the Palm Court of Grand Hotel, where the Denise King Trio are entertaining.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone. May I say what a pleasure it is to play for such a delightful audience. And now, a complete change of mood. Listen to this, you rat bags!
Ladies and gents, you will not know my face, and you certainly won't know my name. But still I'll go down in history, because I have one claim to fame. I'm the only black minstrel in the black and white minstrels. I'm George Mitchell's pride and joy. The others wear burnt cork and those daft curly wigs, and while they're making up, I enjoy my beer and cigs. I came over from Jamaica to be a master baker, but now I am the third one from the right. I'm the only black minstrel in the black and white minstrels, and everyone can see me every night, except in power cuts. Yes, everyone can see me every night.
Encyclopedia of the Air, letter J.
Jiu-jitsu. Form of self-defense practiced by Jews.
There is also Catholic jitsu, which differs insofar as you hit your opponent with a cardinal.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, I'll have a word with Ronnie Corbett.
And now a word for our younger listeners.
Diddums.
And speaking of children, here is Professor Jim Spotty with some theories about them.
Hey, some people think that babies are found under gooseberry bushes. Some people think that a stork brings them. This is not true. What actually happens is that a daddy and a mummy get together.
Get him off!
Oh!
Unfortunately, Professor Spotty has been taken suddenly and indisposed with a lump on the head. So instead, let's take a look at Tony Blackburn's Golden Oldie.
There ought to be a law against that.
I remember Tony Blackburn when he was nothing.
When was that?
About 20 minutes ago.
And now, over to Windsor, where we are just in time for the conferring of the Order of the Garter.
Anne, pull your stockings up. They're all wrinkled.
And while we're there, the Order of St. George.
Two lagers for me and a bird and a pint of tankard for the dragon, please.
Excuse me, I've just come in. May I have a word about that last joke?
Who are you?
I'm a dragon.
You don't sound much like a dragon.
I'm Puff the Magic Dragon. They wrote a song about me once.
Yes, I've heard it. It's called He's Funny That Way.
And now it's time for Hello Cheeky's personal column.
Bargains for Burks.
Two men with wooden legs seek third.
Object. Forming a firm called Rent-A-Wicket.
Desperate spinster seeks cat which might turn out to be a handsome prince. Preferably not doctored.
suffering from dry rot, then stop watching Sale of the Century.
The BBC take no responsibility for the contents of this column. Most of the time, they try and take no responsibility for the rest of the programme as well.
I'm not standing for that. I'm an international star, a member of the jet set. I'm going to see the controller of programmes.
Come in.
I've just been insulted on the air and I refuse to do any more programmes.
But a no-nah, how are we going to do 20 questions without you?
I'm not a no-nah.
Well, you look damn pretty standing in that light. Why are you standing in that light?
I couldn't get a brown ale.
I say. Would you care to share a meanwhile with an old man?
Certainly.
Oh.
Meanwhile, in an antique shop just next to the Max Bygraves joke book.
Good morning, sir. Can I help you?
My name is Campbell. I collect Scottish relics. Is that a tartan bed over there?
No, sir. That's the wife. She's just resting. Hello?
Hello, this I'm a Scotsman here. I want to complain about that last joke.
If you're a Scotsman, why are you talking like that?
This voice gets a bigger laugh.
Get off! Hello?
Hello. I'm a West Indian. I'd like to complain about all these racial jokes.
Why are you talking like that?
Because I can't do a West Indian accent.
For heaven's sake, why don't you two swap roles?
All right, here's a cheese and tomato.
And here's a ham and cress.
Thank you.
And now it's time for Science Special with Arthur Burke.
Hello, I am A. Burke.
True.
Shut up. Now, today, I'm going to play a sound to you. Listen to this noise. You didn't hear anything, did you? That's because I forgot to switch the machine on.
Burke,
shut up. Now, listen to this noise. Did you hear that noise?
Yes.
That noise was caused by me putting my finger in the live socket.
Burke,
shut up. Now, how about this?
I could have danced all night.
Now, sir. What did you hear then?
Pardon?
I said, what did you hear then?
What?
Now, the rest of you pay attention.
Danced all night.
Now, did you hear that?
Yes!
Good boy. Now, those were the sound waves traveling from this tape recorder here. Very socket.
Burke,
shut up. Direct to your ear. However, with the use of this device, invented by Raymond Baxter and a titled lady with a funny eye, we can bend the sound waves to make this...
I could have danced all night.
...sound like this.
Just waiting for you.
What use is this, you may ask? And my answer is, none.
Burke.
Yes?
Shut up.
Quite right.
Well, we have a few moments in hand, which gives me time to tell you that on Radio 3 later tonight, a schizophrenic will be singing in stereo. But for those of you living in the Nottingham area who want a good time, ring 01-2246-8071 and ask for Melanie. Put that in. I'm not going to stand here reading out adverts for call girls.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to ring 01-2246-8071.
They call me Coquette. And Mademoiselle... Don't know why, really. I'm an insurance salesman.
And now, Encyclopedia of the Air, letter P.
Politics. This word is derived from two roots, poly meaning a parrot and tics meaning bugs. Hence, anyone in politics is a creepy little thing who talks a lot of rubbish.
Hello?
Hello, the member for Tiddles Parva here. Regarding what you've just said, I think I must point out, which is not to say I disagree, notwithstanding and in all sincerity. However, speaking absolutely frankly and with the full confidence, incidentally, I think Hello Cheeky is a marvellous programme, favouring neither the one nor the other. On the other hand, goodbye.
Who was that?
Stanley Baldwin.
He's dead.
Yeah, but nobody's told him.
Oh.
And speaking of fish fingers... There will be a shortage of them this weekend. We phoned the manufacturers for an explanation and they said, we're terribly sorry, but we seem to be all thumbs this morning.
Oh.
This is the voice of them all, Dennis King. Hi, fans. And all of you who have written in asking for my autograph, shut up. And now, accompanied by the mass bands of my brother Tony, here is a song I wrote for Charles Aznavour, or Charlie the Frog, as I call him.
The hairs on my legs stand up when I see you. They quiver against my socks and give me 1,000 shocks. It must be love or something. The hairs on my arms stand up when I see you too. And when wearing long-sleeved shirts, the sight of you really hurts. It must be love. Sometimes my ankles swell a bit when you call me on the phone. Basically, that's the hell of it. I'm only all right when you leave me alone. The hairs on my legs are telling me what to do. Each time that I find you near, I must get out of all my gear. And as you're to blame, persuade you to do the same. Get them off.
Oh, Charles Aznavour. I love that song of his.
She may be the beauty of the beast. She may be sober or be...
Please, John. I hate it when you do your Moira Anderson impression. Hello?
Hello, Charles Aznavour here.
Hello, Froggy. What do you want?
Anyone on your show can teach me to do a French accent.
No, West Indian.
That's no good to me. I already got one of those. Come to think of it, I got two of those and one of those. Oh, I'm going to see the wife. I'll call you back.
And now we take you back to the court of Queen Elizabeth I.
Sir Walter Raleigh, what have you there? Not there, there.
Oh, there. This, Your Majesty, is a strange plant from the New World. Oh. When dried and shredded, you can put it into a pipe, ignite it, and the fumes can be inhaled pleasurably. It is called a potato.
Sir Walter, you are a twit.
God bless, Your Majesty. Would you care to join me in a plate of bangers and mashed tobacco?
And now over to a briefing room on board HMS Dreadnought.
And for the last time, you fellows, when he comes aboard, you sing God Save the Prince of Wales and not clap hands, here comes Charlie. I'm not going to answer it.
Well, I'm going to.
Hello, I'm ringing on behalf of someone who must remain nameless, and the person who must remain nameless has asked me to say if jokes are going to be made about the person who must remain nameless, then the person who must remain nameless will come round and give you a bunch of royal fives right up the hooter.
That goes for your cat as well.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's just the tag of a joke they couldn't finish on petticoat line and they asked me to slip it in for them.
And now over to the sports desk.
We've just heard that at Crystal Palace today, Harry Earthworm ran the 100 metres in 9 seconds dead. Experts think he might have improved on this time had he been alive. Before I return you to Hello Cheeky, I'd like to announce that I'm in love with the girl who ran the third leg of the 4x100 metres relay for West Germany. Guten Abend, darling. Ich bin don't half fancy you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I said it first.
Get off. The scene is a village green in rural England. It is a Sunday in summer. What's the first thing you think of?
Rain.
True. What's the second thing you think of?
Doing rude things in the bushes.
Anything else?
Well, if pushed, cricket.
Correct. Who's a clever, bald little boy, then? Yes, cricket. British sportsmanship at its best. 11 men against 2.
A game... a game where a ball left alone is as valuable as a ball struck.
A game where a man who stands still and does little can be a greater hero than a man who dares and risks all.
A game which can be played for 5 days with the possibility of no result.
What kind of men are they who can play such a game?
Idiots!
Our story starts in the little Surrey village of Chipping Varnish during their annual match against Hannigan's Trust Boutique, Second 11.
Right, Mr. Arlington, this be the first time you've played for our team. You got a box?
No, just a couple of deck chairs for the wife and daughter.
I mean, they won't let me explain on radio. Go out there and take your chances, lad.
So, strapping a deck chair to the front of his trousers, he strode manfully forward and fell flat on his face.
Mr. Anthrax, Mr. Anthrax.
Yes, lad?
Who's after Mr. Arlington?
Half the spinsters in the parish. I'm not too sure about my wife.
No, I meant in the batting order.
Dr. Carbide's next.
Ah, he's been called away sudden. Mrs. Dumpton's expecting again.
Expecting what?
I don't know, but the doctor's always willing to oblige.
How's that?
Well, we've written worse.
Dear me, 9 men and a lad against the might of Hannigan's Trust Boutique and the honour of the village at stake. I think I'll go and be sick in a bucket.
Oh, dear. Hannigan's Trust Boutique, 98 for one. They're giving us a bit of a clobbering, Vicar.
True, Mrs. Maybury. But do try to remember John 23, verse 5.
Why?
I can never remember the damn thing.
Oh, Vicar. Dear, 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 they aren't half knocking hell out of Mr. Anthrax's googlies. Look.
I'd rather not, if you don't mind.
No, no.
The vicar followed Mrs. Maybury's pointing finger. He finished up at her knuckles. He'd been following the wrong way.
Transferring his gaze to the cricket field, he saw to his amazement a mongrel dog catch the ball in his teeth. What the dog was doing with the vicar's teeth, we'll never know. But before the ripple of surprise had died down, an even more amazing event took place.
Wilbur! Wilbur!
Yes, Orville?
Look at the kitty hawk! It's flying! It's flying!
What's that got to do with the cricket?
Nothing, but it's an amazing event that took place before the ripple of surprise had died down.
You're an idiot. True. Meanwhile, back at the dog.
He's took the ball in his front paws. He's running back. Good heavens, he's actually bowling. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, I don't know. It was well wide of the wicket. By George, that second one was closer.
Marking out his run, naughty Fido, he handed his collar to the umpire and began to bowl in earnest.
Oh, how's that?
Eight.
That was the beginning of the end for Hannigan's Trust Boutique.
Eight. Eight. Not out. Eight!
It was an historic day. Fido bowled 2 hat-tricks, took a superb catch at second slip, begged for a biscuit and soaked the umpire's trousers.
Chipping Varnish won the match. Hannigan's Trust Boutique lost a lot of support. And Fido was the hero of the hour.
Fido became a regular member of the Village 11, and they went from strength to strength.
They also went from Guildford to Reigate, but that's another story.
I wish to God it was the one we were telling now, but we're stuck with this flaming dog.
Well bowled, Fido!
Look here, Vicar. As captain of the opposing side, I must protest. My man would never have been stumped if he hadn't been bitten in the leg.
That's a chance you must take, my son, when you're playing against a dog.
Wasn't the dog that bit him, it was Mr. Anthrax.
Ah, but never forget Matthew 93, verse 7.
What's that?
He who is bitten by a blacksmith in the name of sport is blessed in the eyes of the Lord.
You're raving mad.
True. But do not forget Leviticus 17, for 3 declared. Well played, Fido. Fido.
the match at Liverpool, Billy Bremner is appealing, but not to me. And now our last sports item. In the inter-village knockout cricket cup final at Lord's this afternoon, a unique event will take place when the Chipping Varnish side will be led onto the field by their captain, Fido. This will be the first time a dog has played at Lord's since Dr. W.G. Grace, who, it has recently been discovered, was a red setter.
And we greet you with the news that Chipping Varnish, having scored 152, have got Littlehampton on the rise in the precarious position of 4 runs for 9 wickets. Over to Richie Benno.
Hello?
Thank you, Richie. Fido, the dog, having taken 3 consecutive hat-tricks, raises his cap to the crowd, his leg to the wicket, and is about to bowl what could be the last ball of an historic match.
Out!
And here in the dressing room, I've managed to get hold of Mr. Anthrax, the owner of Fido.
Would you mind letting go? That hurts. Oh.
Sorry, is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations on your win, Mr. Anthrax, and Fido getting the Dog of the Match award.
Thank you.
This miracle dog, having broken every record in Wisden, could surely go on to become one of the richest and most successful cricketers in the game.
I know, and the bloody fool wants to be a hairdresser. But our cheeky...